Good morning. Today's Daf Mem Mesias Mem Gimel. We are starting. So happy to say this at the top of the Amud. We're starting with the Mishnah Mafkin Maaseh Tzol Shulchani, and here we are towards the end of the third parak of the Masechta. In fact, when I say towards the end, tomorrow, Mir Tzor Hashem, we're going to conclude the third parak. And so, without further ado, let's introduce ourselves to a Mishnah. We have two Mishnahs that we're going to be covering today, two sugyas that we're going to be covering today. Mishnah number one, top of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, Mafkin Maaseh Tzol Shulchani. Deposit money by a shulchani. So a shulchani is a money changer. For our purposes, just to make it easier to hear, we're going to talk about a bank. And what do? I deposit money by a bank. So now, when you deposit money by a bank, can the bank use it? Not only can the bank use it, newsflash, that's how they make these beautiful buildings. And, you know, and oh my gosh, Baruch Hashem, they're making a killing. Because when you give them the money, they use it. So the Mishnah tells us that's great. So Amafkin Mal says so Shulchanim Tzurim Lo Yishamish Behem Leficha Chim Avdu Eina Chay Bechri Yusam and Mutam Yishamish Behem Leficha Chim Avdu Chay Bechri Yusam. So the Mishnah over here makes the following distinction in terms of when you give money to the bank and whether they're allowed to use it or they're not allowed to use it. So if the money is tied up, it's funny, we have that English expression that's nearly identical. So if the money is tied up, but the Mishnah is talking about tied up, the Mishnah means literally tied up. So you're bundling the money together and then you hand it over to the Shulchani. So then the Shulchani is now basically on notice. Don't use it. But if the money is loose, i.e. it's not tied up, so then the Shulchani is in fact allowed to use it. In other words, he can basically turn around and use it. And obviously, when you go back and you want to make a withdrawal, so then he's going to have he'll have the money readily available. And in the event that he's short, so then he'll get insured by the government.
Wait one second.
So now another important point which I haven't explained as of yet, and that is now what's going to be his level of liability. Now, so if the money is tied up and he's not allowed to use it, so you know what he is? He's a shomer chinam, and so therefore, as a shomer chinam says the Mishnah, he's not going to be chai bach riusan. He won't have liability. Okay, obviously, if he's posheil, he'll have liability. But in the event of Geneva, Aveda, and certainly Ones, he's not going to have any liability. If, on the other hand, the money was handed over to him and it's mutarin, the money is untied, which allows him now to use it, so now he is going to be liable. What is going to be the level and the degree of liability? Let's hold on to that thought. We're going to discuss that in the Gemara. That's going to be our first sugya for today. Now, Eitz of Bala Bais, continuing in the Mishnah. Now, instead of giving it to the bank, you give it to a Bala Bais. You give it to a private individual. Here, watch my money. So, Bein Surin, Bein Mutarin, Lo Yishamish Behem, Lefi Chachim Avdu, Eino Chai Bach Riusan. So, over here, when you give it to a private individual, he's not a bank, so therefore, he's not allowed to use it. Therefore, he's a Shomer Chinam, and therefore, there is going to be zero liability. Again, zero liability in the cases of Geneva, Aveda, and Ones. Now, Chenvani. Now, what if you give it to a merchant. So, is he a bank or is he a private individual? It's machlokis. So, chenvani kebalabais, rediver ameh, rebi hurameh, chenvani kishokhani. Okay, so we have a machlokis in terms of what the status of a chenvani is. Good. All right, and where does that take us? It takes us to we're going to get to the first sugya of the day, but just a quick Q&A of the Gemara. Mishum detzurim lo yishamish mehem, they gave money to a bank. And the money is tied up. Literally, by the way, not the English expression, but literally, the money's tied up. So so you gave it to the bank, and the Gemara just can't understand. So now, what normally happens when you give money to a bank? In other words, basically, you're like, here, hold it and use it, and it should make a difference whether the money is bundled or unbundled. What difference does it make? That's the Gemara's question. So mishum detzurim lo yishamish behem. So I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yehuda b'tzurim v'chasumim, and Rav Mari, I'm Rav Bekeshem Mashuna. So the Gemara gives one of two akimtas in terms of when the bank is on notice, don't use my money. Answer number one, belonging to Rav Asi, quoting Rav Yehuda, Surim v'chasumim, the money's tied up and a signature. Basically, you are telling the bank, hey, I want this money to be untouched. You are delivering clear messaging to the bank. Answer number two of the Gemara, Keshem Mishuna, you tie in an unusual fashion. Again, a clear communication. Back then, this must have been very evident, very clear, that you don't want the bank to be using your money. Fine, ukimtas. Igadami, the Gemara has a slightly different version of how that last answer went. By Rav Mari, Keshem Mishuna, Maiteku. In this second version, We're asking, is Kesher Meshuna is an unusual bundling? You bundle it in an unusual manner. Is that considered clear communication? Hey, bank, don't touch my money. Is it? Take what the Gemara says, yeah, I don't know. Okay. So the first hurdle that we just jumped over is, if I'm giving a bank money, so shouldn't the bank be allowed to use it under all circumstances? That's the bank. That's what they're there for. And the answer is effectively yes. Even if the money's tied up. Our Mishnah is talking about unusual circumstances. Okay. Here we get to the big discussion of our first sugya of today's daf. And that is Mutarin Yishamish Bahem Amrav Huna Vafilo Nansu. Okay, now, level of liability of the bank. In other words, you gave the bank money, the money is untied. The bank now is allowed to make usage of it, and now the bank is definitely not a Shomer Chinam. We could say that with confidence. What are our two options that are left? Either the bank is a Shomer Sachar, or the bank is a Shoah. So Rav Huna says, it's very simple. Bank's a Shoah. The bank is considered a borrower. In fact, in the language that we use, that's effectively what we say. If I'm depositing money by the bank, so now the bank has borrowed my money, and the bank now is going to return it to me. So even in our language, that's exactly what we say. But now we're in the Gemara, and we're speaking now in Gemara language, in Halacha, and according to Rav Huna, the bank is a Shoah. But this is a critical part, by the way, and it took me a minute, more than a minute, to wrap my head around it. What Rav Huna's position is that even before the bank actually uses the money, once you hand the money over to the bank, from that point, they are already a Shoah. And then we know that a Shoah is going to be Chayv and Onsen. Good. That sheet is Rav Huna. Now, Vaha Avdu Ketani, now, go back to the Mishnah and read the Mishnah carefully, because the Mishnah says, in what event are they going to be Chayv? In the case of Aveda. Aveda, that's Shomer Sachar language. That's not Shoah language. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Kidderabba, Dama Rabba, Nignavu Belissa Mezuyim Avdu Tavos Finas Beyam. All right, so we've seen this already numerous times, and we're going to see it again later in the Masechta as well, and that is that sometimes Geneva Vaveda could be understood as Ones. How could it be understood as Ones? When it comes to Geneva, you're held up at gunpoint. That is Ones, absolutely Ones. And Aveda, your ship went down in the ocean. That's again Ones. So Geneva Vaveda could be understood in the context of Ones. In fact, we're going to understand our Mishnah that way. And as such, so Rav Huna will defend his position. The bank is a shoal on your money. Therefore, they're going to be chayv and onsen. Good. Rav Nachman Amar Nansulo. Now, Rav Nachman says that the bank is not a shoah. What? The bank is not a shoah. They're not going to be chayv and onis. Let's clarify. Amale Rav Nachman Lidichad Amar Nansulo. So Amalo Havi Shoah Alayu. Yisholo Havi Shamech Zachar Namilo Havi. So the Gemara says to Rav says to Rav Nachman, I don't understand. Meaning, if you're not calling the bank a Shoel, so then what? So then, can't be a Shomer Sachar. Meaning, I'm going to clarify this point in just a moment. I'll make this really clear, but just to go through the steps of the Gemara. Well, if the bank is not a Shoel, then certainly not a Shomer Sachar. Meaning, at the very best, the bank is a Shomer Chinam, which means that you're not Chayv and Geneva Ve'aveda. So Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman says, I'm going to clarify my position. Okay. And now we get to clarify Rav Nachman's position. Rashi makes this point very clear. I'm saying Rashi. I'm just going to say it in my own language. And that is as follows. Of course, according to Rav Nachman, when the bank actually uses the money, they are a shoah. That's a no-brainer. You gave the bank money. The bank has the right to use it. And when the bank actually uses it, the bank is a shoah. And from that point going forward, obviously, they're going to be chayv in any event, even onis. That's easy. What we're talking about is from the point where you gave the bank the money and before they actually used it. At that period of time, what is the bank? So if you ask Rav Huna that question, Rav Huna will say that the bank is a shoah. In other words, they borrow the money. Either they haven't used it yet. Yeah, I know, but when they took the money from you, the she'ela starts from that point going forward. That's Rav Huna. What Rav Nachman will tell you is that no. When you gave the bank the money, from the time that you gave the money until the time they actually use it, in that period of time, Shomer Sachar. Shomer Sachar, how are they Shomer Sachar in that period of time? So the Gemara, which I read, but now I get to explain, is that they're Shomer Sachar in that period of time because they get the bank is getting hana. What's the hana that the bank is getting? The hana that the bank is getting is the ability to make business deals. The ability, in other words, now that they have capital on hand, so now, right, so they are in a position where they can invest here, invest here, invest here, and that now that they have that ability, that's hana'a. Now, again, it's not a tangible hana'a. It's not concrete. But it's enough to elevate them from being a shomer chinam now to being a shomer sachar.
But usually, when they get money, they put it all together. They don't keep it individually.
Okay, good. You're now, it's my fault because I keep referring to the Shulchan as the bank, and now you're thinking about our modern banks. Okay, but just keep everything simple. In other words, when I'm handing money over to the Shulchani, so now from the time they, according to Rav Nachman, from the time that I hand it over until the time that they use it, so they're not a shul yet, according to Rav Nachman. According to Rav Nachman, once they use the money, clearly they're a shul, but before that point in time, they're shomer sachar. Shomer sachar, you have to be getting some benefit. So the Gemara says, yes. It's not a tangible benefit, but it's a benefit. The ability to make investments.
When you give money to the Shulchani, what's in it for you?
You just want the money watched.
Okay.
That's it.
There's no interest.
We're all Jews here. So there's no interest and no one's near, right? And they're not going to give you, what is it, a half of 1%?
Let's see why would the money change, take it if it's bungled and he can't use it?
In other words, at that point in time, but your question is great, but the answer is very simple. He's a shomer chinam.
Then it doesn't have to be a money changer.
Agreed. It could be a regular guy.
So
the Mishnah just wanted to make the point that sometimes even though he's a bank, sometimes you're going in there and say, hey, do me a favor, just hold this for me. And if he agrees, great. We have now a classic Shomer Chinam situation. Perfect. Okay. Eitzvei. So now, on this position, so we now have money given over to a bank. The bank has the right to use it. And according to Rav Huna, the bank is a shoal from the moment you gave him the money. According to Rav Nachman, the bank is a shoal only from the time they actually use it. From the time that they were given the money until the time they actually use it, according to Rav Nachman, you're Shomer Sachar. They, the bank, are a shomer sachar. Ezra Rav Nachman, the Rav Huna. So now a challenge from Rav Nachman to Rav Huna. And we're now looking at Me'ila, and we're looking at the Gizbar. And the Gizbar, Mafkin Mal, says, so Shulchani. And now what does the Gizbar do? The Gizbar, who's holding money, gives it over to the Shulchani. Imsurim lo yishamashem lefichach imotzi lo ma'al ha-Gizbar. Now, if that money given from the Gizbar over to the Shulchani is tied up money, and again, tied up meaning literally tied up. So now the Shulchani knows, hey, this is Hektish money. Oh, I shouldn't use it. And then he goes ahead and uses it. So we're talking about misappropriation of Hektish funds. So who is going to be Mawal? So not the Gizbar, meaning the Shulchani. However, in Mutarim Yishamish Behem, however, if the Gizbar gave the bank unbundled money, so now that is basically code for go ahead and use it. Now, lefichach imotzi mal ha-gizbar. Now, when the bank uses that money, and that money was hektish money. Now, what happened over here is that the gizbar failed to let the shulchani know that this is hektish money. Okay? Now, generally speaking, and I'm sorry, before I get to the generally, and the shulchani went ahead and used that money. So that's misappropriation of hektish funds. So now, who's going to be chayv in mi'ila? So if the money was handed over unbundled, so it will be the Gizbar who is going to be on the hook and will be bearing the liability of Me'ila. Now let's say it. Normally when I ask somebody to do something for me, which is an Avera, so what do we say? Ein shlich l'dvar Avera. So that's what normally we say. Right? The Gemara in Kedushin, second Perek, we did it together not so long ago. Now we also know that for every rule there are exceptions. And this is an exception. There are three in total. This is an exception. Me'ila is one of the exceptions of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, which means by Me'ila, Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera, which now means that when the Gizbar handed money over to the bank and that money was unbundled, basically now authorizing the bank to go ahead and use that money. So, and the bank does use that money, and it turned out to be hektish money. So now the Gizbar is going to be liable. Beautiful. Now, all that's great. We learned the Mishnah together. That was a Mishnah in Me'ilah. Just one clarification. It's a Braisa, but either way. So, question over here is the following, and that is that according to you, Rav Huna, so when did the onus begin? Effective immediately. You don't need the bank to spend the money in order to be in violation of Me'ilah. In other words, according to you, Rav Huna, the onus starts immediately. So, miyad, effective immediately upon having given the money over to the Gizbar. So you are now, the Gizbar now has wildly, I don't have to be that dramatic. The Gizbar has now misappropriated that money. And so I don't understand, according to you, Rav Huna, why are we waiting for the bank to spend the money? According to you, Rav Huna, the bank should be chayev, not the bank, the Gizbar should be chayev the moment he hands the money over to the Gizbar. So Amalei, so Rav Huna says to Rav Nachman, it's an excellent question. Your point is really good. Who did afagav de lo hotzi? You know, if you're asking me, I'll tell you. Yeah, the moment the Gizbar gave the bank the money, so Me'ilah was violated effective immediately. And I know the Mishnah says when the bank spends the money. I know that. But that's just a stylistic point. So if I did the Tana Reisha hotzi, Tana Seifa Nami hotzi. And a point that we see time and again, and that is that the Mishnah is really interested in symmetry. Right, the Mishnah is symmetrical because we're supposed to memorize the Mishnayos. Okay, that was a moment of Musa for myself. So we're supposed to memorize the Mishnayos, and so therefore the Mishnah goes over symmetrical language, even though I'm still so taken by this point. Even though sometimes it is a little bit misleading. Okay, but in other words, it's a balance. In other words, I like that symmetrical language. I know, but it's a little misleading. Oh, okay. So over here, the Mishnah said when the bank is motzi, but the Mishnah didn't mean that. The Mishnah really meant the moment that the bank was handed that money. Me'ilah was violated. Good. That kind of takes us to the end of our first sugya for today. So, in the event that you hand bank over money, so now, what is the status of the bank vis-a-vis that money? The money's unbundled. The bank has every right to use it. And so now the bank is what over that money? Is the bank a shoal or is the bank a shomer sachar? That's the machlokus between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rav Huna says that the bank is a shoal. Rav Nachman says that the bank is a shomer sachar. Rav Nachman will, of course, agree that once the bank actually uses the money, so now the bank upgrades up to becoming now a shoal, obviously. But between that period of time, machlokus amarayim, what is the status of that bank? Let's continue.
What did you do?
You took money and you took it out of the possession of Hekdesh. Meaning, Hekdesh, this is a larger point which I didn't clarify when we did it. Hekdesh can be violated in one of two ways. Either Hekdesh can be violated by benefiting from something that belongs to Hekdesh or being motziat from the reshus of Hekdesh.
No, but also, we say it's a shomer sachar, so he has the...
Right.
He has the right to use.
Correct. 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 But the Gemara thinks that Shomer Sachar is not enough to violate Me'ilah. In the Q&A of the Gemara, the Gemara really believes that only because he's a Shoel and only because you're now Chayv and Onsin, that really removed it from Hekdesh. That's the thought process of the Gemara. And what Rav Huna will say in his own defense is, correct. Meaning that once it goes into the hands of the bank, now the bank is a shoal, now you're chayv and onsin, and now there was a real transfer. Shomer sachar, less of a transfer. I do understand, but it's a subtle point. Hashalach Rabbi Pikadon. Okay, so now we're back to Shlichus Yad. And today, and the last mission, which we're going to Emir Hashem do tomorrow. So we're now going to be covering two sugyas of Shlichus Yad. And so, but let's just focus on today. So today we have Shlichus Yad. And the question is very simple. You're going to have to pay. Now, Shlichus Yad is where you start off as a shomer, and then you had bad thoughts regarding the item that you were watching. But when I say bad thoughts, I mean that you now think, hey, I'd like to take possession of that item. And now you pick up the item with the intent of, I'm going to keep this item. So that's what's called Shlichus Yad. And the Torah says is that when you complete your shmira and you are unable to return the item, so one of the shvuos that you are going to have to make in the case of Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, and Shoel is that I wasn't mishaleach bo yad. I didn't misappropriate. Okay. So now the topic of shlichus yad. Now, as I already pointed out, shlichus yad, it's fancy language for you stole the item. Okay. The reason why we don't call it gzela is because gzela is where the relationship didn't start off as being shomer, mafkin nifkad. And gzela, I just simply took something that didn't belong to me. Shlichus yad is where I start off as a shomer, and then I decided, you know what? I really like that item. I'm going to keep that item. So we have a term to describe. It's called shlichus yad. And so if you are a little bit confused in terms of shlichus yad, sounds like gzela? Sure it does. It is gzela. It's just a shomer type of gzela. So, hashlech rabbi b'kanu b'shamer amim yalaki b'chesed v'yeser uvizil amim kishas otza'a and rabbi kiva amim kishas otvia. So now you're shalech yad. Now, I'll try to make this point as clear as possible. If the item is still in existence, so do you know now how you make good? You give it back. Okay, it's so simple. The mission now is describing a scenario where the item is no longer in existence, and the item is no longer in existence, and now what? I got to pay. And pay going back to what time? So the mission over here seems to be giving us now three opinions. Beishame, Beisol, and Rabbi Akiva. Now, I know this part's going to be a little bit tricky because we did Baba Kama together, and here, even more recently, we did Baba Kama together, and we did the 9th and 10th parak of Baba Kama, which had to do with Gzela. Right? 7th parak was Geneva. 8th parak was Chova Ba'adam. And Prakim 9 and 10. So that is Gzela. And we learned over there as one of the most basic rules regarding Gzela that when you're paying for an item that you stole, you can't produce it. The item's no longer in existence. And you're paying for the item, so you pay Kishas HaGzela. And there, that is a given, that's a tenet. So over here, our discussion today, I admit, is going to be a little bit confusing because over here, three opinions? When meanwhile, the Mishnah Baba Kama gave us basically one opinion? Okay. So just, I'm giving hopefully what is good context for our discussion. And you'll notice also that I didn't really explain any of the three opinions. I hope you noticed that. By design. Now, let's take a break from the Mishnah, and let's do a halacha together. Amar Rabba, Hayman degazo chavisa dechamer mechavre, meikari shav yezuzay, hashta shav yarba, tavro shasi mishalam arba, itbar mimela mishalam zuza. And so now, let's put all of our attention and focus on the halacha of Rabba. We got to see this halacha of Rabba back in Baba Kama. We're reviewing it now again in Baba Mitzvah. The halacha of Rabba goes as follows. I stole a barrel of wine. At the time when I stole it, it was worth one zuz. Okay. Now I'm holding onto the barrel of wine. Either I broke the barrel of wine or I drank the barrel of wine. Either way. And at the time when I broke it or I drank it, it now elevated to 4. Immediately before I broke it or drank it, obviously. So now, how much do I have to pay? Obviously, I no longer have the barrel of wine, obviously. And so now, I'm going to be paying for it. Rabba says, you're going to be paying for it. Either your two options are either going to be paying one zuz, that's how much it was worth when you stole it, or I'm going to be paying 4 zuz. That's how much it was worth at the time when you either broke it or drank it. How much do you pay? Rabbi says, it's so obvious. You pay 4, not 1. But Rabbi also says, but let's say that the barrel, you didn't break the barrel, you didn't drink the barrel, ones occurred, and the barrel broke. Now how much do you pay? You pay 1 zuz. So that's a lot to consider. That's a lot to think about. We did this back in Baba Kama, but it doesn't matter. That was, you know, that wasn't yesterday. And so here now, Baba Mitzvah Daf Mem Gimel, second time in Shas, we get to go over this halacha of Rabba. And that's a lot to think about. But the Gemara helps us in terms of thinking and processing. So my time, I came in the East, I had Lamar Be'ene, Ha'ishaita Dekashasileo Dekatavale Kagazamine. So the Gemara says, in the event that you either broke it or you drank it, so when you broke it, you drank it, you know what you did? So kagazo mine, you stole it. Now this is now stealing chapter 2, meaning you already stole it. So the Gemara says, I know you already stole it. But now, okay, this is going to be the sequel. You stole it again. And because you stole it again, tanan. Kol ha-gazanim hasham kishas gzela. Right? That was that Mishnah Baba Kama that I was making reference to. In other words, you paid kishas exil at the time that you stole. And so now they were stealing the original and they were stealing the sequel. And so now that we're in the sequel, so that's a new gzela, an additional gzela, and therefore you're going to be paying for it. However, it from Mimela, but if it breaks on its own, Mishal Mezuzah. So now you're going to be paying one. Why? My time, Hashalo Avila Velomida, Amai Kamechayv Tale, Aishaita the Gazla, Aishaita Zuza Hudeshavya. On the other hand, if the barrel broke on its own, in other words, it was an onus and the barrel broke, so you're going to be paying, but in other words, you're going to be paying on your gzela. The barrel breaking, that's not an act of gzela. So we're going to go back to the act of gzela here. If the barrel broke and you didn't drink it and you didn't break it, so there's no new act of gzela. So there's only one act of gzela, which is when you actually stole it. We're going to go to that period of time. At that period of time, how much was the barrel worth? One zuz. How much are you going to be paying? One zuz. Okay. So over here we have this halacha of Rava, which is that there's basically what's called a stealing the sequel. Where you can steal an item and you can steal it a second time. Now, you'll notice, by the way, that I've, colorfully described how you could steal two times one item. Okay, the truth of the matter is that, and the Masifta does a beautiful job, he always does, but he does a beautiful job quoting the Achronim, going over the classic discussion over here, Achronim, the Ksos and the Sivas, in terms of that second, the time that you drank and the time that you broke it, is that it considered a second theft? So you heard me say it is a second theft. It happens to be a machlokus on the achronim in terms of how to describe that act of drinking, the act of breaking. But for our purposes, because it just simply fits in really well with the language of the Gemara says it. So and it happens to be the position of the nesivas. The Gemara says it that when you drink it, when you act, or when you break it, it's another act of stealing. I'm just acknowledging that's not the only way to say over the Gemara, but it's the easiest way to say it, and it really remains faithful to the language of the Gemara. Okay, so good. So we have now this halacha of Rabba. And I steal something at the time when I stole it was worth one. It is now elevated, inflated to four zuz. Again, if I have the barrel of wine, we all know what to do. Just return it. I no longer have the barrel of wine, but I no longer have the barrel of wine because either I broke it or I drank it. So Rabba teaches us that's a new act of gzela. You're going to now have to pay four. If the barrel broke on its own, so then we're only going to go back to the original gzela, because that's the only gzela, and you're only going to be paying one. Okay. Tanan. With all that in mind now we get to go to our Mishnah. Now mind you, by the way, that our Mishnah, we're going to use our Mishnah as a compare and a contrast against this position of Rabba. Mind you that our Mishnah is not talking about Gzela classic. Our Mishnah is talking about Shlichus Yad, which is a form of Gzela. I'm just noting that it's not a perfect comparison. It's a really good one. It's just not exactly the same. So Tanan, Beisela Armim, Kishas Gzela. Sorry, let me read that correctly. Beisela Armim, Kishas Otsa. So according to Beisela, so how do you pay? Meaning you're Sholech Yad, our Mishnah. So how do you pay? You pay at the time of Hotsa'a. Now, what does that even mean? Okay, so, my Kishas Hotsa'a. Good. Gemara's question. So, Ilem Kishas Hotsa'a Mina Olam. So does it mean when the item is no longer there, i.e. you destroy the item over my Ibecheser? And what happened now? The item went down in value? So, in other words, it can't be. It can't be that you destroy the item at the time of destruction went down in value, and now what? You're going to be paying its lower value? That's impossible. No. The item was valued at four, and now the item went down to one, and then the item is no longer here, i.e., whatever, it got destroyed, whatever. So we go back to Kishas Gzela. That's fundamental. And no one's going to argue with that point. It can't be what Beis Hillel meant. So, Ibi, yes, sir. And if we're talking about where the item went up in value from one to four, so now Beis Shammai, so now the Ibi, yes, sir, Hainu Beis Shammai. So that, in fact, is the position of Beis Shammai. Meaning now it comes out that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in our Mishnah are saying the same thing. But they can't be saying the same thing because there's a machlokus in the Mishnah. Elab Shita, so as we turn now to the Amud Beis, Kishas Osami Beis Balim. So in other words, when we're just simply looking at the Mishnah, simple taich of the Mishnah, The Mishnah says shas otsa. What does that mean? When I took it away from the owner. Okay. So the now lema. So we go back to our Mishnah. Hashaleich ya bepikadim beishamai armin milaka bechasav yaser. Okay, that's the shita beishamai, which again we're going to translate better in just a moment. And Beis Hillel says no, kishas hotza'a, from the time that you took it away from the owner, took it away, meaning took it from the owner. Okay, and so now it comes out as follows. So, Rabbah taught us a halacha that if you stole an item and then you drank it, and by the in between the time when you stole and you drank it, it went up from 1 to 4. So Rabbah taught us what? You're going to be paying 4. Good. Now it comes out that in our Mishnah, that's a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And now it comes out that Rabbah is espousing which viewpoint? The Beis Shammai viewpoint.
Which he doesn't want to
know. But, right. And that's exactly the point. And the Gemara says, Lema, Rabbah, Damar ke Beis Shammai. And so now it comes out that Rabbah is holding like Beis Shammai. And Gemara says, no. No, we know. Machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The halacha is like Beis Hillel. We know even further that Beis Shammai b'makom Beis Hillel ain't no Mishnah. Right, you don't want to take an Amara and put him on the side of Beit Shammai. So Amalecha Rabba Kule Amalo Pligi. I'm sorry. Amalecha Rabba B'Yester, if the item went up in value, Kule Amalo Pligi, there's not going to be a debate. Meaning, everyone's going to be of the position, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, that the item goes up in value, and you, and your Sholeach Yad, you're going to be paying the inflated value of the item. Ki Pligi Becheser. That's if the item went up in value. The only machlokus between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is going to be when the item goes down in value. Beit Shammai Savrei, Shlichos Yad, Ein Otzricha Chisaron, and so Ki Chaser Bereshusik Didei Chaser, Beit Hillel Savrei Shlichos Yad Otzricha Chisaron, and Ki Chaser Bereshusik Demari Chaser. Okay. So the Gemara now is going to attempt to give the following explanation of the machlokus Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. The item was at 4 and the item went down to 1. And between 4 and 1, you were Sholeach Yad. So did you steal the item, yes or no? Well, what do you mean, did you steal the item? You were Sholeach Yad. You stole it, right? Not so fast. We went over this before. We get to go over this again. In order to qualify Shlichus Yad, in order to qualify from Shlichus Yad, so you had to have now diminished from the item's value. Then and only then does that qualify Shlichus Yad. If you're a Shomer on the item and you take the item, but there was no Chisaron, so there is a position that is, this doesn't qualify Shlichus Yad. Your intentions were bad, right? It doesn't make you a good person. It just simply, look, this is a legal discussion of when it is and when it isn't Shlichus Yad. And there's an opinion that says that if there's no Chisaron, it's not Shlichus Yad. And so the Gemara says, and that's the machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai will tell you that Shlichus Yad does not require Chisaron. And so therefore, when you are Mishalech Bo Yad, and even though there was no chisaron, the item now is yours. And so, ki chaser b'rishusei didei chaser. I'm just rereading. So now, when the item goes down in value, so it was in the rishus of the shomer, because he successfully was mishalech bo yad. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, says no. Shichus yad does, in fact, require chisaron. And so, therefore, when you're mishalech bo yad, you did not successfully steal the item, and therefore, the item still is in the rishus of the owner. So, ki chaser b'rishus et demari chaser. So, the Gemara says, that now is the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Gemara says, okay, that's very creative. However, elahadama rava shlichus yad inetzrichi chisaron lema rava dama ke Beis Shammai. We also happen to know that rava is of the position that shlichus yad does not require chisaron. And now, the way we set up the mission, now rava is going to be going like Beis Shammai, not tenable. So the Gemara says, okay, so now this is going to be our third attempt of explaining the machlokus. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Elahacha b'mayiskinan kigon. Shetot alahav yala goes los. Uvishol shalom idas kemifligi. Beis Shammai tzav vishol shalom idas. Gazlan v'chich havei. V'chichas b'rishusi didei chaser. Beis Hillel tzav vishol shalom idas shol havei. V'chichas b'rishusi demare chaser. So the Gemara says, here's how we're going to set up the machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What did you do? You had no intention of taking the item and stealing the item, but you wanted to use it. You wanted to borrow it. You were not authorized to borrow it. You were a shomer. You were told to watch it. Just watch it. Okay, I know. but right now I can't reach, and I need a step stool, and I don't know where my step stool is. Okay, so I'm just going to take your kli, and I'll just stand on your kli. What's the big deal? In other words, it's okay, right? No. See, this is what's called shol shalom midas. I borrowed an item, but not without your permission. And shol shalom midas, how does that qualify? So the Gemara says that's the machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that shol shalom midas is in fact considered a gazlan, and so therefore when the item goes down in value, birushus eidei. Well, you were a shol shalom midas, and according to Beis Shammai, you qualify now as a gazlan, and so therefore the item is yours, and now when the item goes down, it went down under your ownership. I'm using the word ownership loosely over here. In other words, you stole it, so you're not the owner, but you understand. In other words, it's yours now. And Beis Hillel is of the position that no, shol shalom midas is a shoel, not a gazlan, and so therefore when it went down in value, it still was the original owner, the Marikama. So the Gemara says, okay, good. Once again, an incredibly creative way to explain the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but the Gemara says, but it's not going to work as well. And we know that Rava's halachic psak is that a shol shalom midas is in fact a gazlan. And now you have Rava lining up like Beis Shammai. Again, that can't be. It's untenable. Okay, so, Ella. So far, we are struggling. Meaning, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that you're a Shomer, and you're Mishaleach Yad. And now it's a question of, and if the item is there, obviously you just return the item, and all's good. But if the item's no longer there, you have to pay for the item. And in terms of assessing how we're going to pay for the item based on the value of, at the time when you took it, at the time when you were, going back to the time of, I'm sorry, Beis Shammai says, increase, decrease, you're going to pay for that. We don't even know what that means yet. And Beis Hillel says at the time when you were a motzi. And we have been now struggling 3 rounds of Gemara in terms of just saying pshat in the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And the reason why we got here, well, first of all, we'd like to know what simple pshat in the Mishnah is, first and foremost. But on top of that also, we got onto this because Rabba taught us a halacha that when you're a gazlan, and the item was one when you stole it, went up to 4, and then you did a new act of gzela, you're going to be paying 4. And our interpretation of the Mishnah, so far we haven't gotten one that we were happy with, but our interpretation of the Mishnah would seem to be challenging this position of Rabba. Okay, so what we're going to do now finally is that we're going to offer a pshat in the Mishnah, which the Gemara is going to like, and it won't affect Rabba's halacha at all.
Okay.
Effectively, yeah. So So the Gemara says that the machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel has absolutely nothing to do with fluctuating prices of the item that you stole. In other words, not because it's not something to, it is something to discuss. It just happens to be not the discussion of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. They were discussing something entirely different. And that is derivatives that come off of the item that you stole. Let's say, for example, you stole an animal. So now the animal could produce a baby. The animal is going to be producing shearings, otherwise known as shevach. No. So milk. So these are now derivatives that come off the item that you stole. Those derivatives belong to whom? Had we not had a Gemara, we could have easily said, right? In other words, intuitively, our best guess would be, my best guess would be, I'll speak only on behalf of myself, the owner. Makes a lot of sense. The Gemara says that's a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai is going to tell you that the owner is going to be entitled to all those derivatives. And Beis Hillel says no. Now, I am going to admit that Beis Hillel's position is a hard position to try to explain. In fact, I'm not going to try. How about that? Not really. I'm not really allowed to get away with it. But
there are very few times
that we side. No, we always fall like Beis Hillel.
Now you're
testing me.
No, I did say always.
So there are 6 exceptions to the rule. The Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Gimel. Okay, now I'm going to sound impressive, but it happens to be that I'm learning sukkah. So it's okay. It's anyway, the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Gimel, there's a Tosus on the Amud Aleph, and Tosus goes through the six occasions in which we pass them like Beisham and not Beisol. Okay, good. And so now, that's the machlokus in the Mishnah. And as Rashi points out over here, the words yeser and chaser, the reason why we've been struggling with that term of the Mishnah is because we kept thinking, it really is the simplest way to explain it, that's describing fluctuating price, fluctuating values of the item stolen. Nah, yeser and chaser is another way of just simply describing derivatives. I know it's a funny way to describe derivatives. Derivatives are, you know, bonuses that come off of the item. Yeser v'chaser. So Rashi explains. Rashi says, yeser meaning it's a bonus that comes off, and now chaser, the animal now is missing. In other words, let's say you shear the animal. The animal had wool, the animal no longer has wool. Okay. Anyway, the point is that yeser v'chaser of the Mishnah is talking about derivatives, shevach, and that's the whole machlokus. So v'bukta dahani tanai detanya gozal sarachal and gozal zaviyalda. So Mishalem Osavetsky Zusevas Valasa Div Rabbi Meir Rabbi Huda Omer Gzela Choseres Beinaha. And it's a machlokas tanaim also, meaning that it's good to explain the Mishnah this way because we know it conforms to a machlokas that we already are familiar with. Machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir. It happens to be, by the way, that Beisham and Beisol come well before Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir are the really late tanaim. And Beisham and Beisol obviously are early, much earlier tanaim. So okay, fine. So historically, there's a big, you know, time difference between them, significant interval. But the point isn't changed. The point is going to effectively be the same. Once we know that there's a machlokus regarding shevach and whether the gazan gets to keep the shevach or has to return the shevach, so good. So that's the machlokus in our mishnah. In fact, dekanami dekani b'sham armim milake bechasav yeser veisol armim kishas hagzela. So the what is the Gemara pointing at in the Mishnah? That language of yilakeh. In other words, you're gonna hit him. Or in other words, what does that mean? You're gonna hit him. So in other words, according to Beishame, what you're gonna do is you're gonna hit him in that not only do you have to now pay for the item in its original state, but any derivatives came off of that, you're gonna pay for that as well. In other words, that's the yilakeh, and that's the shita Beishame. Just it fits in with the language. And Beisol says, no, shasotza, meaning no, not any derivatives, only the value of the original item, period, shmamina. Okay, good. So now, mission accomplished, meaning, well, we still have a little bit more daf to do, but mission accomplished, meaning that we had a Mishnah, the Mishnah seemed to be going against the halacha of Rabbah. The Gemara says, we have now given shot in the Mishnah, and it has nothing to do with the halacha of Rabbah. Rabbah's halacha now will stand, and as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah is talking about something totally different. And just to recap, according to Rabbah, you steal an item, was worth one when you stole it, and then you destroyed it or you drank it, the same, and it was four at the time, so you're going to be paying four. Why? Because you stole it again, the sequel of Gzela. And so therefore, you're going to be paying Kshas Gzela. Yeah, Kshas Gzela, part two. Good. That's the halacha of Rabbah. Our Mishnah is talking about something totally different. Based on the conclusion of our Gemara, the Mishnah is talking about where you mishaleach yad, which again is gzela, and the machlokes between Beisham and Beisol. The machlokes is just talking about, are you going to be paying for the item, or are you going to be paying for the item and whatever derivatives came off the item? Beisham says item and derivatives, and Beisol says only the item itself. Adkan. That is really just a quick and hopefully really good summary of everything we did up until now. Rabbi Kiva says that you're going to be paying kishasa tviya. So we have fascinating machlokas in the Mishnah between Beisham, Beisol, and Rabbi Akiva. And over here, who does Allah Chafal like? So according to Shmuel, right. There is a right. I was just listening. Right, we're not totally clear in terms of Rabbi Akiva being a Talmud of Rabbi of Beisham or Beisol. See, it's much easier to say it's a Talmud of Beisol, but okay. Anyway. So, Moda Rabbi Kiva b'Makom Sheish Edim. My time, Amakra Lasher Hu Lo Yinena B'Yamashmaso. Kevin Dika Edim. I Ushaita Hu Dechayv Le'Yashma. So now the Gemara says, even within the Shita Rabbi Kiva, the you're going to be paying at the time of Hamada Bedin, but that's only if there is no Edim. If there is Edim that saw that you stole the item, so now your your schedule of you're going to be paying based on what period of time. So the Edom will put you back to the time when you stole it. Amalei Rabbi Yosha Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Ata Omer Kane Hachi Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan Chalukai Rabbi Kiva Afilu B'makom Shesh Edom My time Amakral Asher Hu Lo Yidnenu B'Yamash Maso Obey Dina Hu Deka Mechayv Le'Ashma. So Rav Asi, quoting Rav Yochanan, says that Rabbi Kiva's position is that the Shas, the time in which you are locked into payment, is going to be Hamad B'Din, even if there were Edom. So Amalei Rabbi Zera Le Rabbi Abba Bar Papa Kiyazal Tala Samakif Asuma Desur. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, so I want you to go specifically to Tzur. Tzur was very steep. You had to go up steps. That's the Sulama de Tzur. In order to get up to Tzur, Va'olda Gabe de Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. Ubamine Ishamina Leila Rabbi Yochanan Halachi Rabbi Kiva Oin Halachi Rabbi Akiva. So the next time you're there, I want you to visit a particular rabbi. His name is Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. He happened to have been a student, a significant student of Rav Yochanan. And I want to hear from Rav Yochanan, and I feel that that's the Masorah that I could trust, whether or not the halacha falls like Rabbi Akiva. So the, Amar, Le, Hachi, Amar, Rav Yochanan, halacha, Rabbi Akiva, La'olam. And he had a Masorah that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, and the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. He adds one more word, La'olam. Good. Why do you add that one word? My La'olam. So Amar Rav Ashi Shlo Tamar Hani Milecha Deleka Edim Ava Hechadika Edim Einami Da Hajalu Duchta Viitparala. I'm sorry. The Ava Hechadika Edim Lo. So the one reason why he said La Olam is because Allah is like Rabbi Kiva, even if there are witnesses, right? We entertain the idea that if there are witnesses that so that you stole, we go back to the time of Shas Gzela. Rabbi Kiva says no. Everything is going to be Shas Hamad Abedin. And inami, and another reason why he said the word la'olam, is the hajalo duchta v'idbara. Let's say after his mishalech boyan, he immediately says, you know what? Wrong. What I did was wrong. I want to do tshuva. He has a moment of tshuva, not just a moment. He puts it back. So that's not sufficient. Why? Because a topic that we discussed already numerous times. La'fugat Rabbi Shmuel, da'amar lo b'inan, das ba'alim, kamash malan d'binan, das ba'alim. When you steal an item, it is insufficient to just simply put it back. You have to let the owner know, I stole the item. I am now putting it back. Until that point in time, you're still a ganav. Okay. And so therefore, where are we right now in the Gemara? Machlokis in our Mishnah. Beishamai. Beisilo. Rabbi Kiva. When you're Mishalech Boyad, you're going to have to pay. If you have the item, you return the item. If you don't have the item, you have to pay. Locked into what rate? So Beisham, let's just do Beisil. Beisil says that locked into the rate of Shas Shlichus Yad. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, Shas Hamad Abedin. And now who does the halacha follow like? So up until the last five words of today's daf, I say the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva. However, Rava Amar halacha ke Beisil. Rava says that the halacha is like Beisil. Okay, I share with you an interesting Rashi, last Rashi in the sugya today. Kishas Gzela Va'anan Karava Avdinan. Ahavalei Basra. Rashi paskins. Right? Rashi says that. That's how we paskin. Rav is a Basra. He's a later Amora. And generally speaking, we have a general rule. When it comes to the Tkufa of the Amoraim, we're going to follow the later ones. The later ones are the ones who absorbed, synthesized, processed, and so therefore when Rav arrives at a conclusion, so that's the halacha.
But the thing is, isn't Rav a student of Rav and Shmuel and doesn't
Rav
stop? Trump those guys?
Yes, generally speaking, yes. But just one clarification, Rav is a student of Rabba. But to your point, though, generally speaking, the halacha will fall like Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva. Okay, good. In other words, it comes out. In Eretz Yisrael, they pass him like Rabbi Kiva. And in Bavel, they pass him like Beis Hillel. Okay, good. And so concludes today's daf. Beautiful timing. Let's quickly recap. Two discussions that we had. You give money to a bank, the bank can use that money. The bank is a shoal. What about between the period of time when you handed the bank the money and the bank actually used the money? So what is the status of liability of the bank and that period of time? Machlok is between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Rav Huna says the bank has the status of a shoal, and Rav Nachman says the bank has the status of a shomer sachar. Shomer sachar, so we explained that earlier today. In terms of how to even entertain and understand that position. Good. So that was topic number one. Topic number two of today is when you're Sholeach Yad and an item that you were entrusted to be a Shomer, and now you took the item to steal the item. So now you're Sholeach Yad. And if you have the item, you return the item. If you don't have the item, you have to pay for the item based on what rate, meaning you're locking into what time frame. So that's the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Rabbi Akiva. Sorry, let's do that correctly. That's the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva. The machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is a different machlokes. The Gemara spent a lot of time this morning going over what that's about. It's about the derivatives. Okay, so in other words, but it's not really a question of you have to pay as per what time. You have to pay as per what time. That's the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva. Beis Hillel says that you pay kishas hagazela, or in this case, the time of shlichas yad, and lefi the shita of Beis Hillel. Of Rabbi Akiva, hamada bedin, and a machlokes between the chachmei Bavel and the chachmei Eretz Yisrael in terms of who does halacha follow like. Rabbi Yochanan says halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, and the chachmei Bavel, Rava says halacha is like Beis Hillel.